Now, you can think back before I left. I know it's been so long. We've been doing this study on spiritual fitness and being spiritually strong. And it's funny because it kind of correlates towards our physical fitness. This year I've lost a few pounds, but I think I found it all on vacation. And started to get back and moving and. But it was so good. It was so good eating everything. But to get this idea of being spiritually fit, and I think especially as we see that day approaching, I believe we see what's going on in this world, and things are going to get worse, especially for those who are believers in Christ Jesus. We're going to see that things that the Bible says are wrong, the world declaring right. This very month is Pride Month, and choose my words carefully here. But for the world to shake its fist at God, and I'm like, Lord, how long are you going to endure this? And we see this where people are taking pride in their sin. And the fingers are pointed at us like we're the problem, and we've been standing on the word of God. And churches are folding. And pray for the church. Pray for this church that we will always stand on the authority of the Word of God. Amen? And so we're going to be spiritually fit to face the days ahead. And so our list we've been going through, we talk about the idea of prayer, of purposely praying, setting a time apart to pray, fasting, of taking prayer and then linking it with fasting, of abstaining from food and that we may focus on the spiritual, on Bible study, of knowing the Word of God and what it says, of worship. Of purposely worshiping and turning our focus and attention on God, on fellowship, the importance of the church. We need each other. As we see things getting worse in this world, we are going to need each other more and more. Of giving, of God surrendering all that I have to you, of temperance, of knowing what is profitable, and holding back. That we may invest more time in the profitable things and less time in sort of the empty things of this life. Of service. Of, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I be involved? Let me get off the bench or off the pew. And I can serve you in some way. And this morning we're going to talk about the idea of sharing. And I'm not talking about sharing your M&Ms. My daughter was good at, having stuff, and we were trying to train her to share. Right? You ever done that with a kid? Learn to share. It didn't take her long to quickly turn around to me and anything I had. She's like, Dad, you need to share. And she'd come up with a little thing and says, Dad, sharing is caring. And give me your cookie. But that's not the sharing I'm talking about here. Actually, what I want to talk about is sharing of our faith. Sharing of our faith. In Sunday school, we were going through becoming a contagious Christian, of practical tools and working through ways that we can witness to those around us in a very natural way. We talk about the idea of an evangelist. We talk about, I'm no Billy Graham. I'm not one that, and I grew up, sort of that Howard Knowles fundamentalist. Door knocking was the way to go. So you went to strangers' doors and knocked on their door and they opened it up and you just lambasted them with the gospel. But evangelism is much more than that. It's just sharing our faith to those around us. We talked about this morning that all of us have a mission field. God doesn't have to send us to Africa. We have our own mission field around us that we need to be a witness to and share our faith. And so we want to talk a little bit more about what that pertains, or if you want to look for tools, I encourage you. Sunday morning here at the church, 9 o'clock, we're going through sort of a real practical evangelism class. But really what it's down to is what is the gospel? I had an opportunity this week to meet with a pastor, and he was talking about what's going on with this young boy who died. And he talked about the kingdom And his idea of the kingdom is just being good. And that's the kingdom. Now, let me tell you, I'm all for being good. I'm all for being loving. I'm all for being caring. I'm all for helping and all about assisting. But that is a byproduct of the true gospel. The true gospel is this, that we are sinners, the Bible says. We are born dead in our trespasses and sin. We are born destined to hell. Jesus himself said, look, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. He said, oh, that's horrible news. I thought the gospel was good news. Well, it gets better. That God saw us in our lost condition. And in here, died for us. See, there's a penalty for the sin. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. That when we stand before the Lord and have to give an account for our lives, one sin is enough to condemn us to a real place called hell. But Jesus Christ came and died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. That's good news. You know, imagine if someone came knocking at your door and said, you know what, I'm willing to pay off all your debts. Right? You know, I share this part of the gospel with kids. I like to tell them, I say, imagine next time you're in trouble, you tell the parents to call Pastor John and I'll come and take your punishment. And the kids get a real big smile on their face. Right? That's what Jesus did for us. He took the penalty that we deserved and he died on a cross and shed his blood for you and for me. And this last part is critical, that we need to accept that forgiveness, receive that forgiveness, receive that gift. Not that we earn it, but receive that gift of what he did for us. And in that, give our lives to him. That is the gospel. That's the good news. We are sinners that are saved by grace. That I was lost and now I'm found. I was dead and now I'm alive. All because of Jesus Christ. And this is so exciting because it isn't just for me. It's for everyone. You know, some people think that church is this special little club for all these little saints. No. God is not a secret to be kept, but to be broadcast out. This gospel is for all. God's not willing that any should perish, but all can come to repentance. But we need to spread that word. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And don't just point your finger at me because I'm the preacher. You're the preacher of the gospel in your mission field that you're in. They need to hear the good news. And they need to hear from you. Proverbs tells us, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You know, when I'm dead and gone, I'm not going to be able to take anything with me. And actually, I'm a pack rat, so if I pass away before my wife does, she's stuck with a lot of stuff. Because I can't take it with me. But what I can do is lay up treasures in heaven. And in my life, I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those who receive it, I get to see again. Be wise with your time and energy. Now, I got some reasons to share the gospel. And it seems pretty obvious. But I'm going to go through these pretty quick. Because typically, the format of this, I've been going through, you know, reasons for whatever it was. And then my final thought was like one last. Well, my final thought is almost longer than my message, so I have to go through these. So if I get down to the final thought, you're like, good, he's done. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I got some preaching built up in me. But reasons for sharing. First one is the Lord's desire for us to share. Mark tells us, and each of the Gospels wraps up with this great commission. The book of Acts starts with this great commission. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Preach the gospel. Now think about this. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're on your knees, say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me. We are probably the most perfect we'll be, because the minute we get up, I mess up. And you say, well, you're a pastor. Yeah, I mess up. Probably several times already today, right? How come the Lord doesn't take me the moment I give my life to him? Why does he leave me here? Because he has God's job for us. And we are to be his witness to the world around us. It's God's desire. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. And as I share the gospel, right? As I go out now, I want to be clear. You know what? You're not going to save anyone. I'm not going to save anyone. God does the saving. We are just his messenger. And then God does the work. And over the years, you know, I've had people say, oh, you're a pastor. You know, you go save my son, or you go save, you know, my Uncle Bob. But I can't save anyone. All I can do is share the gospel. God does the saving. But I need to share. Not only is it God's desire that I share the gospel, but it should be a natural response of who we are. It should be a natural response of who we are. You know what? You talk to a new grandparent, right? And what does a new grandparent do? You talk to him like 5 minutes. Is it, oh, you know what? Let me show you my little Susie, right? And you can sit there for like an hour looking at, oh, and here's toe number one, and here's toe number two, and here's, right? Ah, they're excited to share. Here's a scientific fact you may not know. You know what the lightest element is? Think about this for a moment. What is the lightest element in the world? And some of you will say hydrogen or helium. It's not. It's the diamond. Because you put a diamond in a ring and put it on a girl's hand, and her hand will float like this for a month. Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you? Right? And she's like, Oh, are you engaged? Why, yes, I am. Oh, look at this. Oh, I'm so excited. Right? And you're going to hear about the wedding plans, about the flowers and the place and the little pink tie they're going to make this little boy wear that he doesn't want to wear. About the morsels and the bites and, oh, let me tell you. Yeah, please do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're so excited, they got to share. Right? And some of you are a little more practical. You know, because you've been to Rennie's. And Rennie's in a blowout sale. Shirts for $1 a piece. Oh, right? And they'll tell everyone, go to Rennie's. Right? Oh, you like this? Oh, I got it. Right? And why? Because I'm excited and I want to share what I'm excited about. Folks, as Christians, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows my name. He saved me from my shame and saved me from my sin, and he redeemed me, and I'm forgiven. And you can be too. How can we not be excited over that? What'd you do today? You know, talk to someone. Oh, what'd you do today? Yeah, got up, had breakfast, got ready for work. What'd you do? I talked to God this morning. You what? Oh, yeah, I had a conversation with God this morning, and he was great. You say, Pastor, you're crazy. Probably. It has nothing to do with this. But we share, and it should be a natural response. Peter tells us, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And we see this as the world gets crazier, folks. We have more opportunities than ever before to say what the truth is. Because everyone's interested in what your opinion is until they find out it's different from theirs, right? But let me tell you what I think's going on. Let me share with you. You know, I don't see it that way. I see it differently. Right? Having a conversation with someone, we're talking about racism. And I said, I always find this interesting because, you know what? My Savior came to earth is a dark-skinned Jew in the first century Palestine. I read a book that was written in languages from far across the sea. Christianity is all about being different and being united all through the blood of Jesus Christ. That we are all equal before God. That's an amazing thing. Right? And folks, as we see this world, more people are looking for truth and they're not finding it anywhere else. And it should be a natural response from us. Jesus puts it this way. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Folks, we should just be sort of supernovas, just shining Jesus Christ all around us. Shouldn't we? If God truly has got a hold of our lives, doesn't it show? Right? Reasons for sharing. It's the Lord's desire that we share. It should be our natural response. And thirdly, it should be because of our compassion. Folks, people are hurting in this world. Aren't they? They are lost and struggling. Marriages are falling apart. Parents are on their last nerve. Finances are tight. All these things are crushing in all around us. The world is lost and ripe for a Savior. And I happen to know him, and let me share it. You know, when you're talking to someone who is struggling, let them know Jesus is the answer. You don't have to go through this alone. God promises he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? That all these things are going, we are more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ in our lives. That in all of this, I'm not freaking out. Because I go to the cross. And you know what? And you can do that too. It should be a natural response for us to have compassion on those around us. And what they need is the Savior. And we can share it. Jesus was riding out through Jerusalem. And he says that when he saw the multitude, he's moved with compassion for them. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus later on over Jerusalem looks at them and says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who slew the prophet, how often I wanted to gather you up." Jesus had compassion. Why did Jesus die for you and for me? Because he loves us. He could have left us to our own affairs, and he didn't. Paul was sharing with the Corinthians, and they're asking him, "Why is it that you go around and do this? Why are you sharing the gospel?" And this is what he says, "This is for the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, as if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but he himself who died for them and rose again." Paul says, "The love of Christ compels me. If I truly love my neighbor, I will share Christ with them. My friends who are struggling, the families that are divorcing, they need Jesus. And they're lost. They need a Savior." Folks, it's like standing on the edge of a boat while someone's overboard and they're going down for the third time. And you refuse to throw them the ring. Folks, this world is sinking. And Jesus is trying to call as many to repentance as possible. It's up to us to share that gospel. Reasons for sharing is the Lord's desire. It should be a natural response because of compassion, because it deepens our relationship with God. But look, Philemon says this, is that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of the very good thing which is in you, which is Christ Jesus. Let me share that with you a little bit. See, as I share Jesus Christ, it deepens my relationship with him because it brings me in a position of a fellowship with him. It brings me into a point of dependency upon him, right? I know what it's like, you know, try to share the gospel and you're like, oh no, are they going to accept it? Yeah, is this going to go over well? I get a little nervous. My hands are getting a little clammy. My knees are getting knocking. I'm like, do I say something? Lord, I need you. Can I tell you something? Anytime my prayer starts out with, God, I need you, that's a good prayer. Isn't it? Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me. And you know what? He will do that. He will help us. He'll empower us. He'll strengthen us. Also, what it does is I share the faith that in here, it brings me in tune with the heart of God. God's heart is people receiving him. And when I'm part of that process, it brings me in relationship with him. God's heart is people getting saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God's heart is people getting saved. And if I have that heart, then the heart of God now it lives in me. And my last point as far as this goes is the reason for sharing. It's the Lord's desires. It should be our natural response. Due to compassion, I want to share to others. It deepens my relationship with God, and there's no greater joy. If you had an opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, and they accept the Lord, I'll tell you, there is a thrill in your soul that nothing can compare. The Bible tells us this in heaven. It says, I say to you, likewise, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Let me tell you something. When someone gives their life to God, there's a party in heaven. And there is nothing like that in your spiritual life. When you share the gospel and God uses you to bring that light to someone, I'll tell you, it is just an energy that thrives within you. Years ago, we were in Bible school, and I was working with this gentleman. We were working close at McDonald's, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he asked for a ride. And so I was giving him a ride, and we started this conversation. And in this conversation, he was talking about his life, and I had an opportunity to share the Lord with him, and he was really interested. And so before I dropped him off, he accepted Christ as his Savior. By this point, it's probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'll tell you, I dropped him off, and my heart was a-pumping. I was like, whoo, I was excited. I wanted to tell someone. I knew my wife was in bed, so I wasn't going to go home and shout to her because that wouldn't have been good. So I didn't know what to do. So I'm just like, okay. And I remembered, be careful what you tell me, okay? Just be careful. A gentleman at the school, his job was to tend the fires. Our school had several wood stoves. You guys remember wood stoves, right? We had several wood stoves to heat up various rooms. And his job was to tend the fires. And he told me, it's his fault, he told me that he was up every day at 5 o'clock to tend the fires. So I was like, oh, he's up. And so I pulled into the school, didn't see his car, didn't see any lights. So I sat there. I had to tell someone. I'm like, I'm so excited. I was like like a little kid at a candy shop. And I'm just like waiting and waiting. And I didn't see anything. It's about 5:30. It's like 5:45. And now I'm like, oh no. He overslept. So I go down to his house because I'm trying to help him. Not only am I excited, but now I want to help him. And so I go up and knock on the door. There's no answer. Knock on the door. And I'm like very concerned now. So I go over to the backside of his house, and I know where his room is, so I knock on the bedroom window. And all of a sudden the lights come on. He opens the curtains up, looks at me like, what are you doing? And he didn't realize I was helping him. And so we come around the front door, he opens the door and goes, yeah, John? I said, well, it's five, you know, it's past five. You're supposed to be tending the fires. And he goes, no, I had someone cover for me. So today's my sleep-in day. He goes, what do you want? And I'm like, someone just got saved. And I'm just bubbling over. And he was like, thanks, John. And closed the door and left. But I'll tell you, there's a thrill that happens when you share and you see the dead come to life. When you see the forgiven. And you see those who are shackled, freed, and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an excitement that thrills your soul. And as Christians, sometimes we become so lackadaisical that we forget really what is happening. You say, well, Pastor, you're starting to shout. Because I'm excited! And plus, I haven't preached for 2 weeks, so this is all build up. But I tell you, there's an excitement that happens, an energy that takes place when we see the lost get found. And Christian, if you don't have that, then you need to check your pulse. Share the gospel because some will receive it. Final thoughts. Now, I told you, don't get excited because I'm not done yet. Because like you guys know, I've shared with you, I grew up in a hard-nosed fundamentalist church, and evangelism was one of those things that you were guilted into. You know, you got to share because God's going to be angry with you if you don't. And I don't want to motivate by guilt. I truly don't. But I want to be biblical in all these things because sometimes sharing our faith is hard. And if all these things are true, Pastor, right? If it's an exciting thing, it's the heart of God. If it's a thrill that happens in our lives, we have compassion. We have all these things. Well, Pastor, how come it's so hard to do it? Romans chapter 1. Paul says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul starts this off by saying, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, folks, the gospel is not a popular thing right now. Even within churches, right? We want to love. We don't want to offend. We don't want to hurt. We always want to quote all these things and to tell someone that they're a sinner, to tell someone that they're lost. Well, that's not loving. To not to accept their sin is very unchristian. And Christians themselves have become ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have so many churches today, folks, that are doing all they can to make the gospel palatable. Right? Somehow we think that the gospel has become sort of like the liver in this world. In our house growing up, my stepfather loved liver. Anyone here love liver? I want to pray for you. You know what the liver does, right? And so once a year, my stepfather loved liver, and we have this big liver. And my mom had mercy on us. Because the rule in the house was she made one supper. And you ate what was put in front of you. No matter what it was, you had some. And mom had mercy on my poor soul, and she would try to make liver palatable to me. You know, I heard, oh, you soak it in milk. Now is this soggy liver, right? You wrap it in bacon. You've just ruined bacon, which is hard to do, right? She'd go through it all, you know, try the ketchup and try all. No, it was liver. So one day I was like, my mom, I came in, and it was that time of year again, and I was like, I told my mom, I said, don't even bother cooking mine. So she didn't. So we came to supper, and there's a raw piece of liver on my plate. And I had to eat, me and my big mouth. It was better cooked, but still not, right? And sometimes we approach the gospel like it's liver, right? And we try to cover it up, and we try to coat it with musics and beats and popularity, and we dress it up. We see this, all these gizmos and gadgets to try to make the gospel palatable to the world. And what we're trying to do is dilute the very truth of God. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I put it foremost. I put it in front. I don't try to dilute it. I don't try to hide it. I'm not ashamed of it, because it is the power of God to salvation. Folks, do we truly believe the gospel is the power of God? Let us not be ashamed of it. I will stand on the truth of God. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care if I get shot at. I don't care if I'm booed at. I don't care if I'm kicked off Facebook. I don't care. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it alone is the power of God to change lives. Do you believe that? And folks, so many people are calling themselves Christians who are hiding from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to say this, and this is very sobering. It says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, I think it's going to be a fearful day for many Christians who were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they have to meet their Savior. Who were ashamed of the gospel. And Jesus says, I will be ashamed of you. I don't know about you, but I want to hear my Savior say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Then here, folks, I'm not going to be Pollyanna and tell you everyone's going to receive it and everyone's going to accept it. Paul tells Corinthians this in 2 Corinthians. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Isn't that good news? We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Amen? And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma leading to life. And who is sufficient for all these things? And Paul uses this illustration of scents. And folks, as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, it wafts out. And for some, when they smell it, they smell life, and they accept it, and they want that. And for others, it's going to be a smell of death. It's going to be a pungent smell, because they don't want it. They don't want a change. They want to live in their sin. The men like darkness rather than light, the Bible says. Folks, it is up for us to spread the fragrance of God's love, the fragrance of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. That permeates us and penetrates everywhere we are. Because some are going to accept it and some is going to reject it. But our responsibility is to share it. And folks, make it an exercise, because this world needs a bold witness. Folks, the world doesn't need a compromised church. It doesn't need a socially acceptable gospel. It needs the truth of the Word of God. More so than ever. In this dark world, we need to be brighter lights. Amen? Lord, help me be spiritually fit. Because I believe that time of testing is coming, folks. It's going to be harder to stand against the tide of this world. And folks, we can't do it on our own strength. I need the power of God in my life. So we've gone through this list of spiritual disciplines that will help strengthen you and prepare you for what's coming ahead. Lord, help me spend more time in prayer. Lord, help me make fasting a part of my life. Help me be in your word. Lord, help me to worship you. Help me to be together with other believers. Lord, help me be faithful in giving, in serving. Lord, help me be temperate, of be wise in my time and energies. Lord, help me to serve you. And Lord, help me to share. Let me be the living embodiment of your gospel to go out into this world. And Lord, these are things that all of us are called to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, your word challenges us. It compels us. Lord, we have the best news of the world. Lord, the gospel that Jesus saves sinners. Lord, help us not be ashamed, but stand firm. Lord, help us to let our lights so shine before men and not hide it. And Lord, some will receive and some will reject. But Lord, it's our job to share. Lord, help me to be faithful. This week, give me an opportunity to share your gospel with someone. Lord, I pray for boldness. Give me courage to speak your truth. Lord, help me not compromise. Lord, we ask these things in your name.